welcome to a Listen to Older Voices Golden Moments program. I'm brought to you through the Toorak Times. This is a repeat program from our archives that we believe has merit enough to rebroadcast so that the story and the person's life can be shared with those who may have missed it the first time. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves, and thank you for joining me for the third and final part of the life and times of 57-year-old John Steen. To recap what we've learned, John was born in Portland, Victoria in 1950, and at the age of 18 months contracted polio. Because of a lack of real knowledge about polio, John experienced almost 18 months in isolation in hospital, cut off from even his parents. His physical impairment was made worse by the attitudes of the day. His teachers largely treated him as a pariah, and he was often placed in embarrassing situations, like being made to participate in sports days when it was obvious to everyone he would always be last. Overcoming these and many other poor attitudes, John, who'd also been told he wouldn't amount to much, gained and finished an apprenticeship as a boat builder. Boats would become a reoccurring theme in his life. He bought and fixed up a 34-foot cray boat, and on selling it, he took up a position as a deckhand on a schooner sailing from Melbourne to Sydney. He met and married Bev, and despite her father's unhappiness at Bev marrying a builder, they built a life together, having children and eventually moving to King Island. We pick up this week with John talking about life on King Island and how he nearly sunk the Straitsman, the sea link between King Island and the mainland.
We're going through the paper and Bev said to me, she said, "Do you know there's some land on King Island?" And I said, "Is there?" And anyway, we flew over to King Island and had a look around, and we ended up buying 82 acres.
Goodness.
On King Island.
Well, that was quite adventurous.
Well, the story's not over. Is that I had already said, well, I had set me heart on the farm, so we bought the farm, and Bev got herself a job immediately at the local hospital, and I got the job as the assistant harbour master, for King Island, and my duties was to look after the maintenance of the wharf, and I had a couple of workers who used to do the painting and all that sort of stuff. But my main job was to supervise the bringing in of the Straitsman. Now, a lot of people would remember the Straitsman. I can't remember the time. I think it was about 1967 she tipped over in the Yarra River. A lot of them drowned, and all the cattle and all that. Well, they refloated her and fitted her out, and I was in charge of bringing her into Grassy Harbour, and they'd tie her up, and then they'd load it, and that was a shift where I would start at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't leave the wharf until the ship was at sea again.
Yes.
And many adventure I had on the Straitsman, actually.
Yeah. Can you give us one?
Where I near sank her is.
You nearly sank her.
I got to know the skipper quite well, and so he used to invite me on trips to Melbourne, and it was better than flying, and that anyway. The deal was a slab of beer. You see, so I'd turn up with my kit and a slab of beer, and we would get the ship to sea and set the course, and we'd have dinner that night, which we were waited on by the cook and everything like that, and it was called the trap, because the ship would virtually steer itself. And anyway, it takes 14 hours to go from Curry King Island, Grassy King Island, to Melbourne. Anyway, once we got through the heads at Queenscliff, we're coming up the South Channel. The skipper said, "Look, I need to have a toilet."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Do you want to take over?" And I was, "Yeah, no worries at all." And the helm on the ship is just a little tiny wheel, whereas I was used to something that was...
As we see in the movies, the great big wheels.
That's right. Well, this being a modern ship. And anyway, I had my course set, and you only had to move it a fraction and you were off course.
Wow.
And I'd come back and I'd overcorrect a little bit, and then I'd come back a little bit more, and
each one was an overcorrection of the previous.
And that's how I thought, I'll turn her around.
Oh, excuse me, let's cut that out.
So I spun her around. I started to spin her around, and you can hear the motors. I mean, the station was quite, it was a 300-footer, and loaded with cattle and everything. Oh. And I can hear the motors labouring.
Even if I could afford a steamer, I will take the ferry boat every time. I love to ride the ferry where music is so merry. There's a man who plays a concertina on the moonlit upper deck arena. Boys and girls are dancing while sweethearts are romancing. Life is like a Mardi Gras, funicula, funicula. Happy we cling together, happy we sing together, happy with the ferry boat serenade. I am happy, very, very happy when we're on the ferry. The music is so merry. There's a man who plays a concertina on the moonlit upper deck arena. Arena. I love to ride the ferry where music is so merry. There's a man who always plays a concertina on the moonlit upper deck arena. By and by,
listen to older voices, living history on Ageless Radio.
Anyway, she got quite a bit of a list on her, and he came. Peter came running out of his cabin and pulling his pants up, and he's going, "What are you doing?" I said, "I've got off course. I'm just going to turn her around." He said, "You can't turn it around the channel." And that's how, anyway, we got it back on course again. He said, "Now just hold it." He said, "I'll go back and finish off what I was doing." So eventually he came back and then he took over again. And mind you, we'd been drinking. We'd been drinking quite heavily for about 12 hours.
Yes.
I said, "I was yelling out to you," and he said, "Well, I couldn't hear you." And then he said, "The only reason I knew that there was something going wrong," he said, is when the when my turd started to drop on the side of the bowl. he was waiting for the flat at the splash.
Oh, God, you must have wondered what the heck you were doing. Oh, damn. That's very.
But that was that was one of the many trips that I did, and that. But they were a good mob, and we had the farm for nearly 10 years, I think, and then. Then Bev decided that she wanted to further her education, so we thought, right, well, we'll come back to Melbourne for a year. And anyway, we came back for a year, and she went back to college, and I got a job with Black & Decker, and in the end we ended up selling everything up. And I've never been back since.
Do you miss it?
Oh, I could go back tomorrow.
There.
Yeah, I could go back tomorrow.
Because it's not everybody's cup of tea living that lifestyle, is it? Because it's fairly isolated.
Oh, it's very isolated.
Yes.
I mean, officially, the only way off the place is by plane.
Yes.
But. It depends on what you want out of life. I mean, do you want quantity or quality?
Indeed.
These are the
yes.
things now.
Yes.
Being a young couple, I mean, a big night out for us would be to go into the small town of Curry, and we'd go to the local Chinese restaurant.
Mm.
Because there was no movie theatres, and there wasn't even a hotel on King Island then.
Goodness me.
So there was the RSL, or the Golf Club, or the Working Man's Club over at Grassy, where they had a shearlight mine. By that time, we had two little boys, and it's the sort of place. It got cold, but it didn't get cold like Hillsville, or you know, mainly wind, and because those winds would come all the way from South Africa. You see, we're almost in the roaring.
That's right.
40s.
Yes, that's right.
We were happy. I mean, we had cattle, and I mean.
Sounded like you had everything you really wanted.
We did.
Yes.
We did. And one thing I can say about King Island, I mean, they were very friendly people, and it was one of those places where you didn't even have to carry your wallet.
Mm.
I mean, if you wanted, for instance, if you wanted to go for a beer. And you'd just walk into the golf club, and you'd say to old Reg, who ran the golf club, I'll have a pot of beer and the change out of 20, thanks. And he would just write it in the book.
It's just such a small community.
Being dairy farmers and all that sort of stuff, they all lived on credit.
Mm.
because they were paid like every 4 months.
Yes, yes.
If you know what I mean. Yes. So it was the done.
That was just the part of the lifestyle.
Was the part of lifestyle. And I built the slipway there for the fishing boats. I was working away there one day, and the local policeman, he was driving down the wharf, because King Island had its fair share of hoons as well. And he started talking to me about all these black marks. And I said to him, you know, I can't find my Victorian driver's licence. He said, no worries. He said, just come up to the police station. He said, we'll fix it up. And it turned out that my driver's licence had expired 3 years
goodness.
Before. And here I was driving around King Island with no driver's licence. And they were back in the days when there was no drink driving or any problems. You know, very rare that you'd hear of a road accident or anything like that.
Times were different. They really were different.
Things were different. Yes. And I said to a friend the other day, I could probably go back tomorrow. Mm. And I mean, you know, if I did go back, it'd be the last move I'd ever make.
About 3:30, my daddy said, son, come here to me. Says things may come and things may go, but this is one thing you ought to know. It's the way hot she do it. It's the way hot she do it. It's the way hot she do it.
That's what gets me.
It's the time that she do it. It's the time that she do it. It's the time that she do it.
That's what gets me so.
Oh.
You can try hard. Don't mean a thing.
Don't mean a thing.
Take it easy.
Greasy.
Then you dive the swing. Oh, and think what you do.
It's the place that she do it.
Think what you do.
It's the place that she do it.
What you do.
It's the place that you do it.
That's what gets me so.
Tuned into Listen to Older Voices, Turning Back Time.
Well, John, our time's nearly up, so that's probably a very interesting comment to pick up on, the last move you might make. You're still a relatively young man. Now, you're about to have some operations.
Yes.
But what does life hold for you? Because you look like you've got too much going up in your head just to ever think about just sitting back and just reading a book for the rest of your life.
No. Well, I have to have a knee replacement in the next month.
Mm.
So that means that I'll be laid up probably for the rest of the year. But my lady friend Sue, her brother, he works at Mount Isa Mines, and he said to me, "When you get your knee fixed, why don't you come and do a couple of years work up at Mount Isa and make some decent money?" So I might take him up on that. There's another option. I've been offered a position with the church in Townsville to teach wayward kids woodworking.
That sounds interesting.
Yes.
But probably wouldn't bring the same sort of money as the other job. So one probably gives a lot of satisfaction personally, and the other one money. It's a hard one, isn't
well,
it?
Well, this is the thing, is I haven't actually made up my mind. The main thing is for me to get through this year, have my new knee, and there's lots of things that go through my head. I've got a truck down in my little factory down the back there, and another thought that goes through my mind, I might become a hawker. Do you know what a hawker is?
A person who takes their wares around.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, because I make a lot of wooden things, and I'm sort of teeing up different people from around the Yarra Valley, and I'm thinking I might fit the truck out with a sleeper cab in the back, and travel around the outback and sell pots and pans. And
well, one thing's for sure, you've certainly got some options.
Yes,
you certainly do.
Or the other option that I have been thinking seriously about is I might build another boat.
And I believe you could do it.
I could build a good 60 footer in the backyard here. There's a lot of things to do. And I mean, my biggest problem is that I've got so many friends in Healesville, is that it would be a crying shame. I have never had so many friends until I came to Healesville 15 years ago.
John, that's a problem that I think that a lot of people would love to have. I think you're a very fortunate man to be able to say the problem is I've got so many friends.
Well, yes. I'm always in very high demand around Christmas. Is that I get a lot of invites to go to various places, and I really have to make serious choices on where I go. But I've got a lot of people who constantly check on me, and if I need a hand with something, there's always somebody that I can pick up the phone. And to be in that situation is priceless.
Yes, it is.
You can't put a price and the old saying is that you can't pick your relatives, but you can pick your friends. And there's not too many people around this town that wouldn't know me, and I'm sort of reaching out into other areas of the Yarra Valley. So I'm in a pretty happy situation at the moment.
Well, John, as you say that, I can see it in your eyes. You know, they say the eyes are the windows to the soul. And there's quite a sparkle in your eyes. And if we think about the journey you've been on, from a young boy contracting polio at 18 months, when everybody around you was not just basically putting you down, but really giving you the very strong messages that there's not much left for you in life, mate, you know, to where you are now, where you've got this amazing range of experiences, the most wonderful people you've met, and you've got friends around you, that's quite an odyssey that's not over yet.
The story's not finished.
No. And if you're around in Hillswood, I'm around in Hillswood a few years' time, I might just come and pick it up and see where you've gone with this. But, John, thank you very much for your time. It's been brilliant.
And thank you.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.